Welcome to the Round 9 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week I'm joined by Faz. Welcome back, mate.
Thanks for having me. Good to be back.
And CJ, welcome back, mate.
Thanks for having me. Hello, hello.
So for our listeners, you'd be fairly aware that a lot of the Supercoach podcasts out there or fantasy podcasts out there are struggling for recording. And so certainly we're in that camp where we're recording at a rather unique time, being a Tuesday afternoon at lunchtime at the moment. So hoping to keep these formats shorter during this condensed fixture period. Hopefully, you know, 30 to 40 minute recording and get that out pretty quickly with very, very minimal editing. So if the shows are a little bit more, I guess short form or a little bit more casual in nature, that's just a reflection of the fact that we don't have a lot of time to plan and record the shows. We'll try our best to get content out there. I think at this stage, I'm hoping to get a show out before the start of every single round. And that means recording on weekends and doing some weird things here and there. But I think we can make it work. And for our Patreons, I think we'll try and keep to doing that bonus weekly format with Mark, where he gets a bit of time on a Wednesday afternoon, and we'll try and keep that consistent. So that's the plan of attack for the next few weeks. There's going to be a lot on. There's going to be a lot of carnage, I'm sure, as well. So plenty to discuss. And this week, if anything, is probably the easier week. Something that the listeners should be wary of, I guess you should be wary of, is that team sheets is probably one of the biggest headaches for this period that's upcoming. Have either of you gents seen what the go is for team sheets? Do you know what you have to expect?
Yeah, it's not great. Teams getting announced the day before. Yeah, it's going to make planning pretty difficult. Yeah.
It means we'll also be checking the AFL website every single day. So a lot of overhead and admin in the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough time, but I'm confident that by staying glued to a screen, we can all get through this period. At least I can't really do anything else. So, you know, perfect time to devote lots of time to Supercoach.
Any initial thoughts, Faz? You obviously got quite a good rank you're looking to protect. How are you going to try and best navigate this period?
Oh, I think it's going to be a lot of just hanging on for dear life and hoping things, the carnage doesn't hit, because as you mentioned, or as CJ just mentioned there, teams coming out the day before games. So I think this week, you know, for example, Bulldogs and Richmond play on Wednesday night. The only information we'll have at that point in time, when that game starts, is obviously the teams for that game and then the teams for Melbourne, Port Adelaide the following night. As for the remaining 14 teams that will have yet to have their teams announced, we're just going to have to hope. It might mean that players from those initial games are a bit less attractive because we don't want to be trading with so much incomplete information, but I don't think that that's sustainable. I think eventually we're going to have to just pull the trigger on some of these trades, really with not much knowledge about what's to come. So I'm really hoping I don't have the situation where two of my three trades from a round involving the same player that's traded in and then traded back out. But, I could see that happening.
Yeah, it's going to get really chaotic really quickly. And, the week-to-week price movements is something that I think we've referenced before that you have to keep in mind. It's not going to happen, at the end of Sunday every single week or the end of Monday. The boundaries between rounds changes as well. So another thing to keep in mind there. CJ, from your point of view, any tips or anything that you're going to try and help get yourself out of this in the best shape possible?
I think one thing I will definitely be doing is setting a lot of alarms on my phone before games to make trades as late as possible. I think just kind of making sure that you don't use a trade early in the round when you could save it for a couple of days is the kind of thing that's going to save you from getting a donut at some point. My big tip would be, phone alarms before games so you don't miss lockout.
Something that probably a lot of people haven't thought through yet, but will once this reality starts to hit, is around the naming of questionable players. So if you're waiting for a player who's injured and is waiting for a captain's run, if you are hoping that a rookie is going to get named for another consecutive week or is coming back from injury, all of a sudden that becomes really, really hard to plan for if they are in the last game of the week. So let's say you were trying to do two downgrades and one upgrade this week. Now, the upgrade that you need to – the player that you need to upgrade to is playing at the start of the week. The rookie you want to downgrade to is playing at the end of the week. Now, there's a good chance that, you know, you need to execute the downgrade to get the cash for the upgrade at the start of the week. There's a good chance that by the time that rookie actually gets to playing, he might not be playing because he may have been dropped, right? And so that's also going to introduce some fairly interesting considerations around rookies, making the rookies that play a bit earlier in the week a little bit more attractive as well, just because you have that security of knowing that they are named, they are going to play. So that's some of that's going to be pretty interesting to see how that plays out too.
Yeah, definitely. I think also the condensed number of games mean that injuries that are normally a 2 week injury or a 1 week injury all of a sudden can be a 2 game or a 3 game injury, which really changes the complexion of how you look at injury prone players. I think personally, I'm really leaning away from guys with any soft tissue history, and looking for guys who are pretty durable over the next little bit. If a guy has a break, I also don't think that's too much of an issue. Like, having a bye in this period is absolutely not quite a no-no for me, particularly if you're playing for league, knowing that players have had byes versus it looks like we might have byes in the Supercoach finals because we still have another 10 teams to get through byes. So I don't actually think it's an absolute no-no to bring in a guy who has a bye in 2 weeks.
Before we get into the remaining questions, let's just do a quick team recap. As you can tell, lots on the mind, lots to consider, and a lot of those thoughts still forming in the minds of lots of coaches. But we'll do a quick whip around as we do each week and start off with our group leader for the Supercoach Coach Patreon group. He's eligible for a prize at the end of the year if you can keep this up. $250 goes to our top-ranked Patreon at the end of the year. And that person is still Jack from last week. His team scored 24-64. He was already at about 200 mark. So needless to say, he has shot up. He's now 36th. So huge from Jack. That's two 2,400 weeks in a row, putting him into the top 50 and sitting nicely heading into this interesting period. So we wish Jack all the best. I think there's a few people at the 200-300 mark. So certainly some competition there. In terms of a personal update, I will kick us off. I think I probably low scored out of the three of us, which isn't too surprising on form this season. I scored 21.03. Duday really hurt. Not having Gorn really hurt. I also missed a loophole opportunity, another good reason why you should be listing out all your potential moves in this upcoming period and setting alarms for them. I missed loopholing Darcy Cameron on for Pitney, which I set up with Segler. It was still enough to move me up a little bit in the rank, so around the 30K mark still. At least the two trade-ins were decent. Was happy to bring in Sicily, who scored another big score in a row off a break-even of 20. So even though I passed up on Gorn, it was actually for Sicily, and I was pretty happy with Sicily there. Faz, how'd you go, mate? Did you manage to keep up your top ranking?
I had a little dip in the ranking this week, but thankfully not by too much. It was looking pretty horrendous at one point with Dodie in the team, the 31, had Simpkins 35, the saviour of the week. I'm going to, despite Gorn as captain with 157, I'm going to give it to young Will Hamill, who really turned things around this week, went from scoring a 17 last week to getting me a 96 this week. So,
what a reversal of fortunes.
I take back all the bad things I was saying about him last week. Ranking dropped a little, but went from 230 to 317. So pretty happy with that. I had the same trade-ins as you there. Remains to be seen how the next few weeks will play out with this condensed schedule. Still feeling like I'm in the hunt, so that's where I want to be.
Very, very nice, Samuel. You pipped me by about 100 points. I got a 21.09 this week, which saw me slide back to just about 2,000th.
All right, let's get on to the questions then, and we'll start off with this one from at Julian Anise asking about Elliot Yeo. So he's received a 1 week offer for a ban. A bit unfortunate, really, because he's come into teams fairly recently and he hasn't hit the big heights yet, even though he's probably provided some value at 480 still. Faz, you're a Yo owner. What do you think you're going to do with him this week? Just hold on. He has hit three tons in a row prior to this, 121, 105, 102.
Yeah, a bit unfortunate and also fairly innocuous incident from the footage that I've seen. So I'll get letter of complaint incoming to the match review panel. in terms of what we do with him, obviously the bye coming up the following week sort of adds another layer of complexity here. So Yo missing this week will actually mean he misses two in a row. But as you mentioned, he hasn't sort of snagged any big scores since coming into our teams, and that means that his price is still not fantastic. He's just under 500K, so a little bit higher than I think where we got him in at, but not by much. And so because of that, I can't sort of see a good move here with a sideways swap. There's a couple of guys that I'm really looking at the moment, I guess, in Zach Merritt and Clayton Oliver. This probably to me look like the two standout midfielders of the Essendon Melbourne crew that don't have any buys remaining. I don't think that getting rid of Yo now for that 2 week absence is quite worth it, particularly because unless you're going to one of those two players I mentioned or another Essendon Melbourne player, you're going to be bringing in somebody else who has a buy ahead. So you sort of can only really look at this as saving the 1 week of you know, a donut in your team there. Also, I'm reasonably fortunate at the moment with my bench in the midfield. I've still got Marley and Pickett and Buderek sitting in sort of non-playing spots right now. So I think that all combines to me looking at it just sort of sitting and holding Yo for the time being, but can certainly be convinced otherwise. What are your thoughts, CJ?
I have Yo as well. I've been thinking about trading him. I think if you're looking for a side swap, Luke Parker really springs to mind. He's only about 35K more than Yo. He's only had one poor score so far. He averaged 133 last year with no JPK, who's obviously out for the season. So I think he represents pretty good value if you want a side swap. Also, having that buy that he only shares with GWS, it's going to be a best 18 week. And unless you're really stocked on, I personally only have one player from GWS and Sydney combined. So looking at a best 18 week, having Parker out for that week probably isn't the end of the world, because I'll definitely have enough cover to easily field probably 22 that week. So hopefully I can mitigate him not being on my field there. But I think personally for me, I won't be trading. I've just got a few other issues on my field. I kind of want to do a double downgrade and upgrade this week rather than moving him on.
Yep, I have a different take from you guys. I think considering we're about to get 12 trades in four rounds, I quite like moving on a player that's missing the next two games. Only really to bring in a player that doesn't have a bye anymore, so only the Merritt Oliver selection, and very specifically just Zach Merritt. Julian asked about best value midfielder replace Yo. Anyone looking for a midfielder this week should certainly be looking really long and hard at Merritt. I think he's 80% chance to make my team at this stage. In round four, he scored 78. Round six, he scored 68. Then scored 96 and 135. So those two poor scores now cycled out, but has seen him drop 50K from his starting price point. He's in only 5,300 teams at the moment, which is in less than 5% of teams. No buys coming up, has averaged 115 plus before. Like, it's just ticked so many boxes. I don't think that everybody's going to maintain perfect upgrade momentum over the next 4 weeks, just because you'll run out of rookies with the amount of trades that we have. And therefore, side swaps, I don't mind at this stage. And the Yoda Merritt looks palatable enough to me. So that would be my advice. Next question, and this is moving on to another player that was a bit disappointing on the weekend and may actually miss. And the question was asked by Scott McNaughton from Facebook. He's asking about Duday, who all three of us have. Now, did a hamstring appeared to get strapped and potentially was looking to come on in that last quarter. It was some of the narrative that I was reading. Obviously, really upsetting for people who still brought him in recently. I think most of us got Duday right from the get-go. So I was almost thinking now might be a all right time to move him on. But the fact that, you know, people have just traded him in and looking at potentially keeping him and seeing him as a premium is maybe making me sort of rethink things. Faz, any thoughts on Duda and what you're going to do with him?
Well, he started the game, you know, as we've come to expect from him in recent weeks. He was, you know, doing that role beautifully of sort of floating around the back line, taking lots of intercept marks. So, you know, it was looking like another big score ahead. I guess I just looking for a bit more info on the hamstring. As you mentioned, you know, that they were strapping him up, and it did look like at times there was a prospect of him coming back onto the field. I guess the powers that beat Adelaide reminded the team that they're trying to lose every game this season, not win any, and Dodé would probably help them win the game. You know, as to what that means for his return, I think if there's indication that he's coming back this week, I think I've seen enough from him in recent weeks to suggest that he's going to be right up there in terms of scoring in the back line, you know, if not a top six player, probably not with this 31 in his average, but, you know, right around that mark. And the fact that he's, you know, his price has obviously gone up from where we got him, but it's also not a great price at 433. And then you've got a long way to go to get to those top end guys like the Jake Lloyds of the world. That all probably has me looking at if it's going to be a return this week or just a 1 week injury, I'd be looking to hold Dodé.
He's looking like someone I'm pretty comfortable keeping as D6. Has a very friendly role, takes a lot of really good intercept marks. Yeah, it was a bit of a tragedy that he went down so early against such an undersized forward line. I thought he was absolutely going to clean up this week. But yeah, I think at his price tag, if he's named, I would 100% be keeping him. If it's 1 week, I think I'll hold as well. But there is definitely a temptation to trade him out to avoid having a couple of defensive rookies on field because they're really some of the worst scoring rookies positionally. So he's a wait and see for me.
Yeah, I'm thinking quite seriously about trading him to Shannon Hearn. I know Hearn has a bye coming up, so he's only going to play the one game. So it's not as though I'm really dodging a missed game trading out Duda, who doesn't have his bye scheduled in the next few. But yeah, I just think he's not been an established premium before. So if his average is closer to 85 and you can pick up somebody who can average 100, then this might be an okay time to do that side swap anyway. So if I were looking at trading out Duda, it'd be for Shannon Hearn. And at this stage, I'm probably 50-50 to do that this week. And that might be a mistake. It's very sideways, but fallen premium for, yeah, somebody who's at the moment injured. Very much a line ball call, that one, Duda. And I'm sure course of action will be different for many different coaches. At least the good news is that the talk is he might be coming back soon. So on the lighter end of the scale for hamstring. All right, let's talk about rookies. There's quite a lot of focus on rookies this week, so we'll spend a good chunk of it here now. First question is from @DAJ Keffer, one of our longtime vets of the Supercoach Coach community, and he's asking who the must-have rookies on the bubble are. I'm going to read out a few names. We've got Bradley Close. He's probably the one topping the charts. Under 110K mature age rookie for the Cats, mid-forward flexibility. You've got James Bell from Sydney, again, mid-forward flexibility, 124K. You get Callum Porter for Western Bulldogs playing in the midfield again, 124. You got Keegan Brooksby, if anyone's looking for a downgrade from a Pitney in the Rucks, 150K, played last week with Segler out. And then in the back line, we got a question from Trevor McCullough, one of our patrons, asking us to pick between Matthew Ling and Toby Watson in the back line. So probably those six rookies are the main ones to sort through this week. There are players that have gone up in price but still have a very low break even, like Georgiartis. I think he's at 180 with probably still the lowest break even for the week. But realistically, I think you want to be downgrading to get the most cash to be able to upgrade a rookie elsewhere. There's no real reason to be looking for those guys, I think, at this stage of the season. A guy who's 150 maybe, but there's no real reason to be paying 180 for a Georgiartis type who could still stall it at 300. So I think prefer to keep to the six unless you guys feel differently. But
no, I agree with you. I think Georgiartis only had 7 touches on the weekend. He managed to score 86, but I think every single one of them was contested and effective. So I think his score might be a little bit inflated.
Does seem to play like that. I think that was his first, the same in his first game, though, to be fair. But yeah, I agree. Close, though, you know, as a Geelong supporter, what do you reckon, CJ?
He's first selected for my team this week. lock him in. Played in the premiership-winning team at Glenelg in the Sandfall last year. Averaged over 4 tackles a game. Looked the part in Geelong. We've got plenty of injuries, so you'd reckon he'd get a bit of a run. Could have kicked 3 if he hadn't had a fresh area and missed a set shot, so could have had an even better game. But I think, you know, at a cheaper price than anyone else, he's the standout rookie option this week. And I think most teams still have one of Max King, Curtis Taylor, or even Devin Smith, who you could go down to him. So I think he'll be a very popular trade-in target this week.
Faz, anybody else that you're considering out of those 6 rookies, mate?
Oh, certainly Keegan Brooksby is a big one for me because I've got Pitney sitting at R3 right now, so that seems, you know, pretty perfectly timed there that Keegan's rolled around. I was hoping that Sam Draper might get the call up, but if there's a guy getting games, I, you know, better pick him over the hope that Sam Draper debuts. Toby Watson's one that, you know, has been on team lists for quite a while. I think, you know, I keep seeing his name pop up as a new player because he gets named in the extended bench and has just not managed to crack the final team. He looked all right last night. You know, he's a pretty skinny kid, but, you know, good height to him. And, you know, I think there have been a few injuries at Freo and another couple last night. So, you know, you'd imagine they're just going to try and get games into the kids and play him. But, you know, in saying that, I think he does seem to play a bit of a key defender role, so not going to be particularly lucrative scoring-wise. And I didn't catch Matthew Ling's game on the weekend, so did either of you see that one if you had to make a pick between Toby Watson and Matthew Ling?
I caught the last quarter, which probably skews me a fair way towards Ling because he was pretty good in the last quarter. Had 6 touches, a couple of long kicks outside of defensive 50. They're both mature age, which is good. Ling seems pretty highly rated. He's just had a horrible run with injuries. He missed a whole season with a broken toe and before that did his Achilles. So I think Ling's probably the one I'd be looking at over Toby. Also with Toby, Freo have the bye in a couple of weeks. So he's not quite as attractive just for the sole reason of having that round 10 bye. So I'd probably lean towards Ling if you're going a defensive downgrade this week.
Yeah, I think that point you raised earlier about Sydney's bye, you know, only sharing it with GWS, I'm in a similar boat where I won't be impacted too much in that round. So a bit easier to hide Matthew Ling that week.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a bit unfortunate that they've both come up. I think both Ling and Watson were players that we were looking at in the preseason as potential starters. So for both backline rookies to come out in 1 week is certainly not ideal.
Good.
I mean, in terms of a job security front, both Freo and Sydney should be giving time to kids, certainly more and more as the games go on. I think I'd go with Ling just because his profile is more suitable to scoring than potentially Toby Watson. But I can see potentially Toby Watson therefore having slightly better job security than Ling because the rebounder type is potentially a little bit more replaceable than Toby, who at a 190-centimetre defender plays a bit more of that sort of hybrid role. So that's probably one consideration there. All right, let's get off the rookies and go into trade-out discussions now. And the first question we've got in this section is from David from Facebook asking about Devin Smith and his need to go. Has his role changed or does he just not give a shit this year? And that got quite a lot of comments. So a lot of people very much frustrated with old Devin Smith. He's averaging poorer than some rookies are. So, yeah, very frustrating. Faz, what's the go? I mean, Dylan Shield's not even in the team at the moment. He's still scoring 49. I'm not happy, Jan.
Yeah, I had the E on Max King this week. So who would have thought that 52 was the correct decision to take over Devin Smith? But, yeah.
Are you at the point where you're loopholing Devin Smith? He's that poor.
I played Rankine on field this week and then loopholed King and Devin Smith. Which is probably saying it all, really, that maybe Devin Smith, you know, should be looked at as a 360K rookie rather than, you know, a mid-pricer, which is what we brought him in as. But, yeah, as to his role in the team, he doesn't seem to be attending a whole lot of centre bounces or getting involved in the midfield much. I guess we've had some injuries. You know, Ratio's gone down again, so that, you know, and just the forward line in general is pretty depleted. So they might be thinking they need to keep Devon up there as sort of a, you know, another scoring option up forward. But I've also noticed just a few sort of ill-disciplined acts across this season. There was, you know, a 50-meter penalty he gave away this week. I think it was, you know, nothing too much in it, but just sort of those throwing a punch, you know, a jumper punch or an elbow at a player, you know, right in front of an umpire. It's just I'm not really sure what he was expecting to happen with some of those acts, and obviously that anything like that's gonna really eat away at his super coach scoring, particularly if he's not having those midfield minutes. So that all puts together a pretty dim picture for Devon. Obviously not affected by the buys, as with all Essendon and Melbourne players, but I'm getting pretty worried with a break even of 98 this week. If he's going to put that sort of scoring together again, his price could start to tumble. So, yeah, I'm pretty tempted to, particularly with young Bradley Close debuting on the weekend, I'm looking at somebody to downgrade to him. Honestly, at the moment, he's probably the front runner. You know, it's between him and Max King, and I think King might still have a few more dollars to make, whereas I'm worried that Devon's going to go backwards.
CJ, what do you reckon you'll do with Smith, right?
I think I will probably be holding him. It's not pretty, but I think if he scores a 65, he'll probably only drop about 15K. He's already kind of shed the bulk of his cash. I've also still got Curtis Taylor, who I think is a bit more pressing of a trade-out need than Smith for me. Just doesn't quite seem to be, had an injury and doesn't quite seem to be back. So I think I'll be holding him, but I wouldn't begrudge anybody for trading him out. I think if I had five trades this week, he would definitely be on the block, but he's probably just safe with a few other issues I need to address.
Yep. No buy upcoming, 360K, so not selling at a high. I'll keep him, and he'll be my last upgrade for the year. At the moment, I'm planning to have him and Segler share F6, F7, I guess. All right. Next and probably final question for the week from Aralis Maximus, asking about Shannon Hearn and whether or not he has turned the corner. Lots of home games and looking much better with the Eagles team improving around him. And certainly after beating Collingwood emphatically, they have just had love heap on them by commentators and everybody else. So things change quickly. Probably the most notable thing about Hearn is just that he will be only playing, you know, one more week before missing round 10. And he does play Geelong this week. Averages 87 against them, high score of 119, low score of 57. His break-even is 45. So if he scores around 80, he'll go up about 15K and still present value, but you'll get him buy free. Of course, you could just get him at a bargain basement price and picking up this week. He has had two really poor scores that came back-to-back in rounds 5 and 6, being a 68 and 39, and those two have really dragged his price down. But outside of that, you know, a lot of his poorer scores are still more in that 80 range, which isn't too bad. Yeah, I'm not sure whether or not I bring him in this week or next, but I'm certainly pretty keen to bring him in eventually. Faz?
Tempted as well. Had a funny old career, Shannon Hearn, because it's really only in the last couple of years, sort of right at the end of his career, that he's pushed up into that true premium scoring. He was always sort of that type of player that would tease you before, where he'd sort of average around the 85-90 and never quite took the step. So it came a bit of a surprise when it did happen as late as it did. That sort of price is just probably too tempting to pass up a premium, or, you know, a guy who's shown premium scoring for multiple seasons at 420K. That's fantastic. But I think my approach is probably going to be to wait one more week. It gives me another chance to have a look at him, make sure that you know, the turn in form is real. But also, as you said, get him buy free in a couple of weeks' time. I know that particular buy round 10, might be a bit hard on people's back lines. So it's Frio, West Coast, Hawthorn and Carlton. I know a lot of people brought Sicily in this week. A lot of us started with Doherty. And I've also got Williamson as a rookie from Carlton, who's continuing to sput it up and stop his price going anywhere near a good trade-out price. So,
and there's Stephen Hill, Jared Brander, Will Day.
Yeah,
so heaps of backline players that potentially could be missing that week. So, you know, with you know, potentially an injury affected Dodie down there as well, I'm probably, you know, just play it safe and, you know, eat the 15-20k price rise that's likely coming from Hearn and just get him in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, I think I'd advocate waiting until he's bye as well. Hearn's a guy I probably, if he didn't have a bye, I would probably be less inclined to bring him in, funnily enough, just because of his history of soft tissue injuries. I think I'd probably be opting to pass on him. But yeah, taking him after the bye at kind of 440k is pretty appealing. He's averaging 119 at home and 71 away, which is just absolutely gobsmacking this year. So with that many games at home, I think he's pretty hard to ignore. But I'd like to see another week and to see him have a bye before I jump on.
They would have played a lot of good opposition too in the first half of the year, including Geelong, Collingwood, Port and Brisbane. So something to keep in mind as well. From a draw perspective, I am likely to bring in Merritt and Close this week, and I think my last trade is probably between a Ling and Shannon Hearn. So that's sort of the type of thing I'm thinking about. So very, very much on the edge of making my team this week, Hearn. All right, that wraps up the round 9 special. Thank you, gents, very much for joining us. Any final thoughts for our listeners before we sign off?
Oh, I reckon just jump on board CJ's suggestion there, get all those alerts and alarms into your phone, because certainly the time of year where could be could be excused for settling in on a Tuesday night thinking that there's no football happening, and there you go, you've missed a trade. So
Just missing the start time of games. I missed the first quarter of Melbourne Brisbane because I just assumed it was a 7:40 start.
Times are just bonkers.
Yeah, all over the shop.
Definitely
6 p.m. special.
Yeah, and some of them clash where you don't think that. Just pay a lot of attention to the fixture, everybody. And probably should also just mention there's a lot of bargains coming up. Hearn and Merritt, obviously, this week. In the coming weeks, Neil's 80, we'll see him bottom out next week. Tom Stewart, his 18 from his broken collarbone game will percolate through next week as well, as will Mitch Duncan's next week. So a lot of cheap good gets at the moment who present history of true premium in the past. So keep your eye out for that. That's probably the best way to help maneuver your way up the ladder is picking up these gems when they've bottomed out. Good luck. There's a lot going on, and hopefully this helps you. We'll catch you again very soon. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's get